morning, I'd like you please to turn with me to the Old Testament, the book of Joshua, chapter 6. Joshua, chapter 6. We're going to study about the fall of Jericho. A very important truth is cited in this chapter regarding faith. This morning, we're going to study faith, among other things. To start reading at verse 1 and read the entire chapter, Joshua, chapter 6. Now, Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the people, "Advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the people, "Do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest took up the Ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring disaster on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." When the trumpets sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, donkeys. Joshua said to the 2 men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother and brothers, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute, with her family and all who belonged to her, because she had hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lived among the Israelites to this day. At that time, Joshua pronounced this solemn oath, "Cursed before the Lord is the man who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest, he will set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. Now let's jump back to chapter 2, the book of Joshua chapter 2. I want you to see something regarding Rahab. This is important. This morning, at least in part, I'll be dealing with the subject of faith. In Joshua chapter 2, starting at verse 15, I'd like to read all the way over to verse 19. This is in regards to Rahab. So she let them down by a rope through the window, and that is Rahab let down the two spies, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now that's important to remember. Her house was part of the city wall. Verse 16. Now she had said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. The men said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land you have tied the scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers and all your family into your house. If anyone goes outside your house into the street, his blood will be on his own head. We will not be responsible. As for anyone who is in the house with you, his blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on him. Let's jump back to chapter 6. Setting here, we see that Jericho was besieged by Israel. And it appears from verse 1 that this had already taken place, and it was quite some time that the city was sieged, and there was no one coming in, no one going out. And we find out that God spoke to Joshua, and he said to Joshua, before anything ever happened regarding the walls, that I have given you the city. The city is yours. But I'd like to make a point right now, and later I'll emphasize it once again. Even though God gave them that promise, even though God gave them that city, they had to do something to take possession of it. And of course, we know that occurred through faith. It was faith that enabled them to take possession of Jericho. In fact, that's very clearly pointed out in Hebrews 11, and later on I will show you the exact verse. But let's move on. God promised. He said, I have given Jericho into your hands, and yet it was not in their hands. It was not in their hands when he said that. Remember the book of Numbers, when God said that, I have given you Canaan land, the land flowing with milk and honey. But he told them they would have to take possession of the land. And you know what happened? Even though God gave them the land, they did not take possession of the land. It's up to us to go forth and take possession of what God has given us. We have to use faith and gain the victories. We have to use our weapons, and we have to defeat the devil and pull down the walls and the mountains and the giants and the storms that will battle against us. We have to press on using faith. Faith is a remarkable force, remarkable force. We find out that, believe it or not, it was the invisible force of faith that grabbed hold of those walls and just tore those walls right down to the ground, smashed those walls right down to the ground. The very thing the people of Jericho trusted in, those walls came crashing down because of this invisible force known as faith. It's an unconquerable, invisible force. You cannot stand against it if you're an adversary of God and somebody is standing on God's promises. We find out that we can take God at His word, and that's really what faith is. Taking God at His word. And I will show you later on. In fact, why don't I do that right now? Let's jump over to the book of Hebrews. I want you to see a semi-complete list of what faith can do. Hebrews chapter 11. Let me start reading at verse 32. This is a very important chapter to study if you're learning anything about faith. Starting at verse 32, Hebrews chapter 11. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Listen. Who through faith did what? Conquered kingdoms. What else? Administered justice. Anything else? Listen. Gained what was promised. You know how you gain what is promised? Through faith. You gain what God has promised you through faith, regardless what it is that God has to offer. If it's eternal life, you have to have faith in the Son of God to receive that promise. And what else? Shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. How? All through faith. This invisible, unconquerable force that Paul wrote about in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. He said, if you put on this full armor of God, make sure that on top of all that you have the shield of faith. And with the shield of faith, you can do what? You can quench all the flaming arrows or missiles of the evil one. All of them with faith. So that tells me something right there. That faith is both defensive, Ephesians 6:16. It will quench those flaming arrows that Satan will shoot at you and me. And also, it's offensive because it was through faith that the walls of Jericho came down. So we have an offensive and a defensive weapon, an invisible weapon that Jesus said, listen, Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes. Through faith, I want you to know the miraculous is possible for you. We will conquer. We will be fruitful if we learn how to walk in faith and use what God has provided for us, these invisible weapons. The only way that we can gain a victory with this spiritual battle that we're engaged in every day is by using spiritual weapons back at the devil. And of course, prayer and faith, they go hand in hand. The name of Jesus we have. We have to walk in love. There are many other things that go along with it. And it's all spiritual. And faith is one of the most important things that we need to know about. While we're in Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 30. Hebrews 11, verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. In case you were wondering, just what in the world made those walls fall? Well, right here it's crystal clear. It wasn't military strength. It wasn't military strategy. It was that invisible force that God has provided for us to use if we stand on His Word and on His promises. It's called faith. Thank God for His Word that it's so sure and so true. And you know, it says in 2 Peter 1:19 that God's Word is more certain than His audible voice. His written Word is more certain than His audible voice. Did you know that? Did you know that you could stand on God's written word and have more certainty that what He has promised, He will stand behind, more so than if He spoke to you audibly? That's what 2 Peter 1:19 says. We have the word of the prophets made more certain than what? God's audible voice. And you will do well to pay attention to it, like a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And in case you're wondering just exactly what faith is, I'm talking about faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for. I want you to see there's hope. You have to have hope. Before they conquered Jericho, they had the hope of it. Some people are so void of hope, there's no chance of them ever getting anything with faith. They don't have any hope. But if you're going to get anything with faith, you have to have hope. I want you to know these Israelites, they had hope. They wanted to get the city, and praise God they got it. But I want you to know that hope isn't good enough, because you're going to have to go beyond hope. The word says right here, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Certain of what we do not see. It's something that we can stand on and we can bank on and we can be assured of, that God will always stand behind His word. Always, 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 always. At this point, I'd like to interject something, and I think I know some of the thoughts rolling around in your mind. You're probably thinking, faith, huh? I heard about that before. I tried it, and it just can't work for me. I just can't get it to work. Well, that's exactly what the devil wants you to think. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. It's not going to work for you. Or the devil wants you to think, there's nothing to this faith stuff. Oh, yeah? Read Hebrews chapter 11 and check it out again. I want you to know there is something to it, and it'll work for you. It'll work for you. It will work for you. Maybe you tried in the past and it didn't work. Don't give up. Don't give up. I want you to know God's word is forever settled. It will never, 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 never change. And God said faith is available to us. It is available to you. There are walls that are hindering you from conquering and moving on with the Lord, just like these Israelites faced those so-called impregnable walls of Jericho. But thank God for faith. Thank God for that force called faith, that God stands behind His word. And when we trust Him, faith grabbed hold of those walls and tore them down. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Doesn't this bless you? Doesn't this give you hope? I want you to know there is hope for you. There is hope for you. And all through the book of Hebrews, past verse 1, you're going to see faith is exemplified in the lives of all these people that are referred to in this chapter, like Abraham, Noah, Rahab, who we just read of. We'll deal with Rahab a little later. If any kind of thought will enter your mind, and if you're cleaving to any kind of thought, if you're thinking that faith won't work for you, you tried it and you might as well just forget it, it just won't work, remember this. Remember what I'm about to say. The same people that gained all these many promises, that shut the mouths of lions, that conquered kingdoms and everything else we read of, they were just like you. Just like you. The only thing is, thank God they didn't give up. Thank God they stood on God's word and they wouldn't say no, they wouldn't say no, they wouldn't say no. Like somebody said, it's always too soon to give up. It's always too soon to give up. It's always too soon to give up. I don't care what the problem is. You might be looking for a job. Oh, Lord, I've been looking for months and I just can't find anything. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Whatever it might be, don't give up. Listen to me. Listen. God set the situation up for these Israelites that they had to walk around that city 7 times on the 7th day, then the walls would come down. What do you think would have happened if after the 3rd day they just give up? Lord, nothing's happening. I'm looking at the walls. There's no crack in the walls, Lord. How are the walls supposed to come down? I can't figure this out, Lord. The walls are still here. You expect me to believe that if we merely walk around the walls and blow a horn and shout that these walls will really come down? Come on, God. You think I'm a dummy? And that's just what the devil wants you to do, try to reason this out. And you know, after the 3rd day, the walls were still the same. After the 4th day, they were still the same. And the 5th day and the 6th day, and that 7th day came along. And I want you to know they walked around that wall the first time, still the same. The 2nd time, still the same. The 3rd, the 4th, the 5th, the 6th time. But praise God, on that 7th time, they walked around. Those priests were blowing those trumpets. And all of a sudden, Joshua gave the command to shout. And I want you to know, listen to me. They shouted while the walls were still up. Glory be to God. They shouted while the walls were still up. And you know, that's what faith is. They shouted while the walls were still up. And you know what happened? The walls didn't stay up any longer. Down they came. Because God said, after you do that, then the walls will come down. Remember a few weeks ago, we talked about a man that was healed of leprosy, a man that was named Naaman. God wanted him to dip 7 times in a Jordan. After that 6th time down, he still had leprosy. But praise God, after the 7th time, he didn't have it anymore. God's number of completeness is 7. And it's certainly brought out in this chapter, in Joshua chapter 6, isn't it? Don't ask me why God told Elisha to tell Naaman, you're going to have to dip 7 times. Don't ask me why he set up the system here where they would have to walk around the city 7 times. We're not told why. But we're told that if we stand on his word, God will always, 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 always stand behind his promise. Doesn't that just bless you to know that he does? You know, that's why you're saved, is it not? Because you stood on the promise of God. Jesus said that he would not reject anybody. He said he would not reject anyone. And you're an anyone. And you came to Jesus. And thank God he took you in. Thank God he took me in. And he said that if we trust on his name, if we turn from our sins, we can have the free gift of eternal life. And you have eternal life. Because God stands behind his promises. And just like that promise of eternal life, thank you, Jesus. All things are possible to him that believes. Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible with God. But in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, that's where the passage is found, where all things are possible to him that believes. Isn't that amazing? All things are possible to him that believes. Well, now, brother, you're getting carried away. Now, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think, that this is getting carried away. If you think that faith can only get some things accomplished? Again, study the Gospels. See what Jesus said about it. Glory be to God, it blesses me when I study faith. Can you imagine if you were right here in the Israelites' shoes? Can you imagine how hopeless it must have looked with the natural mind? But thank God Joshua wasn't going by the natural. You know what kind of man he was? I want you to see. Jump over to Joshua chapter 1. Now, Joshua was the man that succeeded Moses. And really, the book of Joshua is a continuation from the book of Deuteronomy. It picks up where the book of Deuteronomy leaves off. Joshua, at one point in time, was Moses' aide. He was the one that replaced Moses after Moses was gone. And God said something to this replacement, this man that would be leading up about 2 million people into the promised land. And this is what he told their leader. Verses 6, 7, and 8. God said, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." Now listen to this. "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." I want you to see God doesn't promise success until first we keep our mind on what he said, until we speak in accord to his promises, speak in accord to the word, act in accord to the promise. I want you to know, as far as Joshua was concerned, before those walls came down, they were already down. He told the people before the walls came down, he told them what to do. He said, "Those walls are coming down. And when those walls come down, I want you to go in there and kill everyone except Rahab and all those that are inside Rahab's house while the walls were still up." How could Joshua say that? These huge walls are still standing. How could he say something like that? He could say that because Joshua right here obeyed what God told him. He knew the formula for success, and that formula was keep your mind on what God's promises are. Keep your mind fixed on the promises. Think about what God has said. And I want you to see, I'm reading from the NIV in verse 7. It says, "Be strong and very courageous." This word in the Hebrew that's rendered courageous in verse 7, it means be of steadfast mind. God is telling him, you control your thoughts, Joshua, and you fix your thoughts on my word and my promises, and don't let doubt come in. Don't let fear come in. Don't let the walls or the giants or anything else stand before you and rob your faith. He's saying it's up to you, Joshua. You are the one that's going to have to do it. It's you. It's your choice. You're the one that's going to have to be militant. You're the one that's going to have to be aggressive. The enemy's going to come at you. You're going to have to stand. You're going to have to control your thoughts and speak in accord to my word. And thank God, you know what they did? They walked in accord to the promise. They spoke in accord to the promise. God gave them that city, but that city would have never come down, never, if they did not act in accord to what God had promised. They could have sat back and said, "Oh Lord, you know how we want Jericho. And Lord, we're so thankful that you have given us Jericho." And they would have stayed right there and nothing would have happened. They had to act on the promise of God, on God's word. Just like you do. Just like I do if we're going to get anywhere with God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God it worked. And isn't it encouraging to know that God doesn't change? That God stood behind them and he's standing behind you? All those people that marched around that city, they were just like you. Just like you. But thank God it worked for them and it will work for us. It's estimated there were around 40,000 soldiers in the Israelite militia that marched around this city. Not the whole 2 million, 40,000. One of those 40,000 people was a man named Achan. We don't read of him at all in chapter 6. In chapter 7 of Joshua we do. God wanted everyone to leave the plunder in Jericho there for the Lord. Achan seen something that he wanted. A beautiful robe. He seen some gold and some silver, and he took it. And he disregarded what Joshua told these 40,000 people. Joshua warned them that you will make the camp liable and you will bring destruction on it and yourself if you take any of this plunder. And I want you to know that Achan, even though he experienced and he's seen the miracle of God with those walls coming down, sin messed things up for him. And not only for him, for that entire camp. All of Israel, 2 million people approximately at this point in time. 2 million. One man's sin hindered the whole thing. And I want you to know, if you're going to get anywhere with God regarding faith, you're going to have to examine your heart. And one of the number one things you're going to have to deal with is unforgiveness and doubt. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, you might as well forget it. If you have unforgiveness in your heart toward anyone, that's one of the devil's most subtle tricks, besides doubt and unbelief. He'll remind you of past hurts and past rejections and times that people stabbed you in the back. Meditate on this. Think about this, and he'll give you this thought and this thought. Remember this and remember that, just to hold you in that unforgiveness. And if he could hold you in that unforgiveness, I want you to know he has you. He has you. He got the victory on you. Paul said we're not going to let Satan get any kind of advantage over us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And that was in regards to unforgiveness. Don't let any unforgiveness get the advantage over you, because this battle is too important. We're battling for all eternity. Don't let any kind of unforgiveness creep in your heart. Examine your hearts. We read of a lady named Rahab. And this lady named Rahab found favor with the people of God because she had the kind of faith that would justify. We read of Rahab in the New Testament. Hold your finger here in Joshua chapter 6. Let's jump over to the book of James chapter 2, verse 25. James chapter 2, verse 25. We're still reading of the same person. James chapter 2. Let me read verses 24 and 25 so that you can get the full context. James writes, "You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." You see, we're talking about right here. Notice verse 25, considered righteous. Considered righteous in which way? Before the Israelites, not before God. Before the Israelites, Rahab was considered righteous by what she did. She was already considered righteous before that act took place in God's eyes, because God can see her heart, but man can't. And that's a major key in understanding James 2:24, a real controversial verse. A lot of people stumble over the simple plan of salvation. Instead of trusting in Jesus alone, what they're doing, they're trying to trust in Jesus and good works. And they base that primarily upon James 2:24. James is writing this in regards to people being justified before man, like Rahab. He cites Rahab as an example of one that was justified before man. If you would back up, you could learn about Abraham. Abraham, approximately 40 years after he was declared righteous, then he was circumcised. He was righteous, and then he had actions. But I want you to know this from James chapter 2, just like with Rahab. When you have the kind of faith that will entitle you to what God has promised, if it's the kind of faith that will save your hell-bound soul, or any promise that you're trusting God for, you're going to have the kind of faith that will produce actions with it. If not, your faith is dead. It's not the kind of faith that will save you. If you don't act in accord to the promises and the Word of God, your faith isn't the kind that will get you the promise. Let's jump back to the book of Hebrews for a minute. Right before the book of James is Hebrews. Chapter 11, I want you to see just one more time, verse 33. "Through faith they conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and they gained what was promised." Notice that. They gained what was promised. If you haven't been gaining what was promised, if you're wondering, "Well, I just can't figure out why all these promises are here and I'm not getting anything." The problem is, somewhere along the line, the devil is getting the best of you in the area of faith. Just like these people, you are going to have to gain what God promised for you the same way they had to gain it, through faith. And Rahab is an example of a lady that was justified, and the faith she had caused her to receive deliverance from the destruction that fell on all those people inside of that city. All those Canaanites fell, except Rahab. And remember this. Remember when we were reading Joshua chapter 2? I pointed out the fact that her house was on the city wall, and the walls came crashing down. I want you to know, all around that city, those walls came crashing down. That wall and that wall and that wall and almost all of this wall, one little part holding up her house, there it was, because God promised deliverance for her. And her house was still standing after those walls came down. So that means there was a little part of that one wall over there where her house was. All those other houses, they crumbled. They came down, but not her house. And that's what God can do. Somebody might say, well, that's really impossible. That's really amazing. Do you really believe that? Absolutely, positively. I want you to know, if the Israelites can cross over the Red Sea on dry land, if it would have been muddy ground, that would have been good enough. But it was dry land. Glory be to God. If God can do that, absolutely. I can see just a little part of that wall still protruding up from the ground, and there's Rahab's house right at the very tippity top of it. Glory be to God. And they had to be in that house to get the deliverance. If they were not on that house, in that house, they would not have received deliverance. In other words, they had to stand on the promise. Those spies told Rahab in chapter 2, you're going to have to be in that house, and your house is on the walls. If you're not there on the promise, it might be a little shaky for you to stand on the promises. You're going to have to stand right there, Rahab. You're going to have to be right in your house, Rahab, and your house is right on that wall. And if you're not in there, if your family's not in there, no deliverance for you. But thank God, you know, she had the kind of faith that would save. And you know where she was? Right there. And you know, her faith brought deliverance to her entire family. Can you imagine some of the things her family must have said? Oh, come on. Come on, come on. Do you really think that this is going to happen? Do you really believe this is going to happen? If you would read the entire chapter 2 of Joshua, you would find out that Rahab told these two spies when she first met with them, she said that fear had gripped them because they had heard what God had done through them already. And I can imagine some of the thoughts the devil must have put in Rahab's family to come against Rahab to get Rahab out of that house. Can you imagine some of those thoughts? The same kind of thoughts that you hear from those that you love and those that you know, maybe even your friends that are well-meaning, but they're speaking for the devil. Did you know that Christians can speak for the devil? Did you know that well-meaning friends can speak for the devil? That's absolutely the truth. In Matthew 16:23, Jesus tells us that Satan was speaking through Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. Peter thought he was doing well. He thought he was doing good. He was a well-meaning but deceived Christian speaking for the devil. You stand on God's promises and stand on those promises and stand on those promises. And when you're certain that you have it, I want you to know you're in faith. You'll be in faith then. And I want you to know Almighty God is behind you. Almighty God will be behind you because he doesn't change. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And you know, they needed this victory. They needed Jericho to take the rest of the land. And if they would have missed this one, I want you to know they would have not taken the land. They would have had one problem after another, after another, after another. They wouldn't have succeeded. But I want you to know they were ready. And they were ready because of the truth behind meditating in God's word day and night, and speaking in accord to his word and acting in accord to his word. And that's why you need to meditate on his word and not on the walls. I want you to know that Joshua wasn't meditating on those walls. He didn't see in his mind, oh, these impregnable walls. I can't get past there, God. He never said anything like that. I want you to know, as far as he's concerned, those walls were down before they actually came down. Glory be to God. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. And I want you to know something else here. This is a real important truth about Christianity. God justified that prostitute, Rahab. And in Proverbs chapter 7, jump over to Proverbs, please, chapter 7. The same exact Hebrew word we read right over here in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 10, the same exact word. Then came out a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute. The same kind of person that Rahab was. And you could read on about her, but I want you to see verses 26 and 27. Still talking about the kind of prostitute that Rahab was. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to hell, says the KJV. You want to know how to go to hell? I'll tell you how. Sexual immorality will take you to hell. It says so right here. Leading down to the chambers of death. Right here, this is the kind of woman that God justified, and justified her that fast. That fast! And that's the same exact way that we're justified like she was, because her example was what James used in the New Testament. And that's by faith. Well, how were the Old Testament saints saved? The same way we're saved. By faith. And it came instantly. Immediately it came to her. And God looked at that prostitute, and you know what? Would you believe that she's in the genealogy of Jesus as cited in Matthew? Would you believe that? Matthew chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. You could read of it. In fact, Rahab was the mother of Boaz, the husband of Ruth. She was the great-grandmother of King David and the ancestor of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. We're talking about a woman that was once a prostitute. But you know, when you think about that, that's not all that unusual, because was not Moses a murderer? Was not David a murderer? Was not Paul a murderer? Three of the most mighty men that ever served God had that kind of wretched background. And Rahab was no exception. Thank God for Isaiah 1:18. Though your sins are like scarlet, though they are red, the Bible guarantees a promise from God. They shall be as white as snow, as white as wool. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. That's called good news. And that's what the word gospel means. It means good news. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Before Rahab acted in accord to the kind of faith she needed to justify her, she had fear in her heart. She had a holy kind of a fear from this awesome God. And you know, we need a holy fear in our heart. If we think about what God can do to us, I think the fear will be there. And I want you to know that He knows. He knows everything. There is nothing secret. There is nothing, nothing, nothing secret. If you think you can snub and hurt one of God's children with your words and with your actions and get away with it, you are deceived. God says in 1 John 3:16, that we are to love those in the brotherhood so much so that we would lay our life down for that person. And God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. The laugh will be on you in the end. Can you imagine how the people must have been laughing in Jericho when those Israelites were walking around the city? How stupid you are! Do you really think that these walls will come crashing down by you merely walking around the city? Ha, ha, ha! Aren't you a fool? And that's exactly how unsaved people might react toward you. Those that are in rebellion toward God. Those that treasure sin in their life. They will laugh at the things of God. But I want you to know in the end they weren't laughing. I want you to know the time came when the laughs stopped for them. And I'm sure they were probably laughing at Noah. What's this crazy old man doing building an ark? What? He's actually saying that it's going to start to rain. He's insane. It won't ever happen. But I want you to know when the rain started to come, I'm sure the smiles left them. And I want you to know people might be laughing at you if you're standing on God's word, if you're living a holy and righteous life, or if you're speaking and acting in accord to God's promises. But one of these days, they won't be laughing anymore. Glory be to God. That's one of the things you're going to have to overcome. I want you to know Joshua could care less if they laughed. He knew what God said. His mind was steadfast on the promise. You can laugh if you want. You can say it won't happen. You can throw doubt at us if you want, devil. My mind is on the promises. These walls are coming down. Because Almighty God said, then, after the seventh time on the seventh day, those seven priests will sound those trumpets, and then the walls will most assuredly definitely, no question about it, they will come down. Thank God they did come down. They did come down. Glory be to God. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God gave them the city, but it never came down until they acted in accord with His word. It was His will. It was His will for them to enter the promised land years before, but they never entered because of doubt and unbelief. They never entered. And they would not have taken this city if doubt and unbelief would have got the best of them. That's the kind of battle we're in. God set the system up this way. He wants us to battle. He wants us to walk in faith. And that's the reason the devil will give you the kind of thoughts you have. Not to walk in love, to be unkind, to harbor resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness, to be doubtful, to question God. Because if he can get you in these little areas, I want you to know your faith is going to go from up here down here. It was an unwavering, obedient faith that brought those walls down. An unwavering and obedient faith. And it took patience mixed with faith that finally brought the victory. You know, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, we read something about that. Turn there. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. There it is again. How did they inherit what was promised? Through faith and patience. The devil will tell you it's not working. It's not going to work. The walls are still up. The walls are still there. Do you see any crack in the walls, Joshua? I want you to know Joshua didn't look to the walls. He had his mind on the Word of God, the promises of God, and he knew. You see, he was certain of it. Hebrews 11:1 says you have to be certain. Well, he was certain. And he spoke in accord to the certainty those walls were coming down, because he told those 40,000 warriors that were behind him what to do when those walls come down, before the walls actually came down. Glory be to God. He had faith and he had patience, and they gained the promise. They gained the promise. Glory be to Jesus. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. Let's jump over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. The weapons we fight with, now this is what we Christians fight with. Did you know that the word fight is part of our vocabulary if you're a Christian? We are in a fight. Did you know that? If you haven't been fighting, then the devil's been winning the battle in your life. The weapons, did you know you have plural weapons? The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. If somebody shows you resentment, don't show them resentment. If they show you hatred, don't show them hatred. If the devil's going to get the best of them, don't let the devil get the best of you. On the contrary, our weapons, listen, our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. That stronghold, just like the walls of Jericho. We demolish, there it is again, arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And what? We take captive every thought. That's exactly what Joshua did. He took captive every thought. When they were laughing at him, oh, come on, Joshua, do you really think? Do you really think these walls will come down? Joshua took captive of that thought and he discarded it. I want you to know he didn't meditate on any kind of unbelief and doubt, anything that went contrary to the promise, because God already told him the key to success. You're going to have to meditate day and night in my word. Don't let any doubt and unbelief get in there. Don't let any doubt and unbelief get in there. Don't let any get in there, and then success will come. He did not say it might come. He said it will come. Jesus guarantees it will come. God promised Joshua. He said those walls will come down. They will come down. You do your part, then the walls will come down. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, glory be to Jesus. He did not operate by reason. Did he? He went by the naked word of God. Peter was able to walk on water because of this invisible force called faith. And this faith is available to you. I want you to know something about Peter. That man was quick to believe God's word. God worked a lot of miracles through his ministry. I wonder how many miracles he's working through your ministry. And do you know that we have the privilege and the responsibility to cast out demons and lay hands on the sick? You have the privilege and the responsibility to do that. And the demons will flee and the healings will come if you're going to walk in accord to God's promises regarding what you can do as a new creation, as God's ambassador. And if you preach salvation, I want you to know God said that he will stand behind his word and signs will follow. Thank you, Jesus. People will get saved, but you have to walk in accord to what God has promised. Turn to the 24th chapter of Joshua. The end of Joshua's life, now that he's an old man, and he had all these victories through faith. His whole ministry is cited in the book of Joshua. I want you to see, please, verse 11. Chapter 24, verse 11. This is what Joshua said regarding Jericho. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, the same place we just read of in chapter 6. The citizens of Jericho fought against you. Now listen, I want you to know that when those walls came crashing down, the people inside of that city, they were fighting against the Israelites. But you know what happened? Because they were still in faith, because God was with them, they conquered that problem too. They got the victory over. And let's not stop reading there. I want you to jump on down to verse 14. Now remember, Joshua's an old man now. This is what he said. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And the reason he said, consider the gods of the Amorites, is because the God of the Amorites couldn't stand against the Lord God Almighty, the one that we serve, the one that Joshua served. He said to them, you go ahead and pick whichever God you're going to serve, some almighty God in heaven named Yahweh that we worship, and my God, or you can serve some of these other gods, because there really are lords many and gods many. But of course, there really no God at all. They were demons, and they couldn't help the people that were trusting in them. And then Joshua went right ahead, and he said, well, you go ahead and pick this day. It's your choice. But I want you to know, as for me, he made a bold confession. That's one thing about Joshua you'll find out. He was a bold confessor of his word, and that's what will happen to you if you meditate day and night in God's word. You'll be bold about it. Glory be to Jesus. Look at verse 16. After Joshua said what he did, then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our forefathers out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who live in the land. We too will serve the Lord, because he is our God. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't that an important truth about evangelism? You have to pick the God that you will serve. And if you're not serving the one true living God that exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then you must be serving some other God that cannot save you from hell and cannot deliver you from all the problems, all the mountains, all the giants of this life. Glory be to Jesus. I want you to know you have the promises. You have the name of Jesus. You have God's word, which is forever settled. This is it, right here. It doesn't make any difference what anyone might say. Somebody said, God said it, I believe, and that settles it. Well, that's a little too long. It should be like this. God said it, and that settles it. It doesn't make any difference if you believe it or not. This is the way it will be. Right here. This is it. If you think faith won't get the job done, you're wrong. Somewhere along the line, you're deceived. You've missed it. If you think you can't gain the promises, then you're wrong. If you think God gave the victory to people that were something other than you, you're wrong. They were just like you, plagued with the same kind of background that you went through, the same kind of failures that you've seen in the past, the same exact thing. Glory be to Jesus, but we got the key, and we know it's keeping our mind on God's Word and not on the walls of Jericho. Not on any Goliath that you might stand before if you're David. Not on any kind of impassable Red Sea. You keep your mind on the promises of God, and God will split the Red Sea for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and you'll go across on dry land. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus.